And we're back in the studio. How are we doing today?
Girl.
How are we feeling?
I have something I need to say.
Oh, that was fast. Okay.
I have...
What does she have to say?
Gone to a lot of coffee shops.
Oh, we're talking about coffee.
It's coffee podcast. I've been to a lot of coffee shops. I've been a lot of places.
It's a coffee shop podcast, yes.
And I just have to say, at least in the Bay Area, I think coffee shops are dead.
Oh, I haven't been to one in like years, I feel like, at this point.
I think they've died.
Like, I have not enjoyed one in a very long time.
I need to know from the listeners, have coffee shops in your area died? Because, like, I feel like nowadays, post-pandemic, and I'm saying post-pandemic, I mean post-lockdown, okay?
Yeah.
That.
Post-vaccine.
I know people still get COVID, and I know people are still dying. You don't need to, like, crucify me on the cross.
Yeah.
But I feel like since we have come out of lockdown and the world has pretended things are normal now, every month I'm like, oh, that's a good coffee shop. Oh, I like this coffee shop. And then I like am there for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And suddenly I show up one day on my cute little walk around the lake in my cute athleisure that I got all dressed up to go walk around the lake in. And it says permanently closed forever with like tape all around.
Oh, so they're not even bad. They're just, like, literally disappearing.
No, that's what I mean.
Oof.
Okay, I find another one.
That's even more
upsetting.
Okay,
this is great. And I go at, like, 2 p.m., which, by the way, I don't know if the world is just awful now, but 2 p.m. is a totally reasonable time to want to go to a coffee shop.
I get coffee every day. Well, I make my own coffee.
You would think that 2 p.m. is a time that I could go to a coffee shop and meet with you.
No, it's just Starbucks and McDonald's now.
No.
That's all there is.
No, you want to go to a coffee shop at 2 p.m.? How about you die is what the world tells me. The world tells me you stupid fuck.
The one coffee shop I do kind of like, though, I can't even afford it at this point to go because, like, I'm not paying $17 for like pastry and a coffee.
They
open at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. Girl, the world starts before 8 a.m.
I understand. We live in a cost of living crisis.
Absolutely.
Inflation. And out of all the people in the world, coffee shop workers are truly essential to the fabric of society and deserve 100% to be unionized and get paid equitably for their work.
Get paid like triple what they're
being paid. We're all on the same page about that.
Yeah, of course.
But like, we also used to live in a society where you could sit in a coffee shop until after the sun had gone down.
I actually saw a cafe in Oakland that was open at like 8 p.m. on a Friday, and I need to find it and find out what's going on.
But is it a coffee shop or is it a cafe?
It looked like it was a... What's the difference? What are you saying? Because like, they could be the same thing or completely different.
Is the main function of it coffee, and then they have a little glass case full of sandwiches?
It was giving that.
Is it a restaurant you can order coffee
No,
at?
It's not a restaurant you can order coffee. It was definitely like the best they had is maybe some pre-made sandwiches and salads, but it's mostly coffee. It's mostly coffee. It was in downtown Oakland off like Broadway.
Okay, but you really want to go downtown Oakland?
No,
at
I don't.
Night?
Exactly.
And that's not like a, that's not a commentary on downtown Oakland. I mean like getting there and back on the bus. Like
it's not that bad.
It's not the worst.
The bus stops
but
right
I'm
here
saying
for me.
In our area, we live in a very populous
No,
area.
Those coffee shops should be like on our
downtown
street.
Downtown Oakland. What I'm saying is downtown Oakland is not nearby.
No, it's kind of. But like I wouldn't go to downtown Oakland.
If you were to walk from
shop,
here to downtown Oakland, take you like 20, 25 minutes.
Oh, it would take like 45 to where that was at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. So don't fight me.
No, I agree
with
you.
I'm saying walkable distance. We literally live next to Lake Merritt.
I shouldn't have to drive to a cafe is the first thing, honestly.
Yeah, that's the first
The one
thing.
I can walk to here, like I said, opens at 8 and closes at like 2.
And
so
listen,
it's like, what's the point?
If I had to drive to a Starbucks, that's fine. But I don't want to go to Starbucks. I want to go to a place where
it's
the coffee
garbage.
Is an acceptable $5. And
$5 for a cup of coffee?
You give me a brand muffin.
Do you mean $5 for an oat milk latte?
Like a latte.
Okay.
And you give me like a brand muffin that's
a cup
not...
of plain black coffee should be like $2 maximum.
You give me a brand muffin that's like... ultimately not very good, but I mostly bought it as an excuse to like tip you more.
Right.
Because I felt bad only giving you 25 cents or however much is the tip for a $5 coffee. And they give you like the little thing, it's like a dollar, you know.
It would be a dollar.
I am the person, unfortunately, I am the victim of the person tipping all the way at the right of the screen on the digital
pad. Oh,
we're
pro iPad tipping culture here.
You know, there's people who are like, you just made a coffee, why should I tip?
Oh, Gen Z is furious about that, and it makes me really upset.
So that's what I'm saying.
And I'm like, do you, any of you work a retail job or a service job?
I have coins that I'm willing to spend at a coffee shop, but it's not even that there aren't any coffee shops now. It's like, you say out loud on a street corner that I wish there was a coffee shop that was open past 2 p.m. And literally every single person in a 100-mile radius pulls a gun on you as if you have truly, like, just committed 9/11. Like,
so you want people to work late. You want people to overextend themselves. And
I will pay them young. To work late. Like, I will patronize your restaurant.
That oat
milk
latte is going to cost you $45.
And you know what? I would spend it if there was somewhere to spend
$45. No, you know what it is now? It's like coffee shop clubs where you have to, like, pay a monthly membership just to, like, get your QR code to enter the building. That's probably what it is now. I don't think that's true. I've been seeing ads for this, like, friend meetup thing in Oakland where it's, like, a private space in downtown that you can hang out people in, but you have to pay just to have a membership there. It's like a gym for people. And I was like, this is where it all goes to hell. Like this okay. is the end of it all. Like,
there is a coffee shop nearby me.
That could just be a coffee shop or a library.
The one by you that may or may not be ran by a polyamory cult. Like, that is a separate... That is definitely a separate issue.
It's not may, it is for sure. Okay. Confirmed.
That's its own thing.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
me, God, there is some good pastries, though, at least. There is a, like, hole in a glass window
style shop. Oh, I know that one.
Style shop. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. That's also nice.
It's good, yeah.
But the problem with
that pastry
with
is frozen on the inside and hot on the outside, but that's a different story.
Stop.
That was just one time.
The ham and cheese one, it is like a brick of ham in the middle.
It's delicious yet terrible. But
that one closes fully at noon.
That is so offensive. Like,
noon. And it doesn't open until 8 p.m. It's open for like 4 hours.
This is why I'm fully just make my own coffee now.
I think what it is is one, we don't have, like, worker-owned coffee shops.
Yeah,
so people can't, like, actually share in the profits. They're mm-hmm. getting paid, like, garbage wages. Like, I do understand that. But I also think that owners are just, like, don't care about wanting to, like, pay fairly or, like, keep their shops open and pay for labor is what it is. Because, like, the fact that you're a coffee shop that serves food and has tables... and you're open from 8 to noon, 4 days a week? I'm sorry. Like, what is happening? You're a drug laundering.
Oh, yeah. When they're
front.
Open only a few days a week, it is actually like, what do you serve to the community? Like, how were you able to pay the rent
at that
on this?
Point, you're taking up space in the community. And what's crazy is, listen, I know there is a pandemic still going on, but like, they don't even allow people inside it anymore. Like, you can tell that there used to be a storefront.
Oh, yeah,
storefront
yeah, the inside
there.
Is just for the staff now, yeah.
And no, it's not even just for the staff. It's just mostly empty, and then the staff sit at the window in this cavernous, empty room.
It's all fucked up.
For it's 3 hours up. A day, maybe.
Nothing makes sense, nothing feels right.
And because it is the only place Everyone's that's unhappy. Walkable nearby, it is, like... actually the scene outside of 9/11 whenever you try to go there, because
shut up.
No, it is just like people in strollers fleeing from each other. It's like the 99% of the patrons there, because truly, again, it's like
the rubble.
People want to go to coffee shops, but we should also have places in society where the people with strollers can go, and then the people who are just on a sexy little power walk in my skimpy athleisure go.
Exactly.
We should be allowed to separate ourselves, okay? Like, I should be allowed to go where I want, and I can't, and there's nowhere to spend the money. And so I sit in my house pouring coffee for the second time into my fucking Chemex.
Rather just kill yourself than do this. Like, this is the end of the world to you.
Thinking to myself,
I bought a Chemex and I'm unhappy.
I'd rather go and spend my last $5 sitting down somewhere with music.
No, but
playing.
You can't even sit. They're like 15 minute maximum and you're on like a shitty fold out.
No, no. And the places where the Wi-Fi runs out.
Oh, mama. No. Uh-uh. We live in the 21st century. High speed Wi-Fi should be available everywhere.
I just don't. Do people not remember the time when, like, what happened to that time when we could all just go to coffee shops whenever?
I met my partner who I'm with now at a 24-hour coffee shop in Berkeley that was demolished like a year after we met. And I was so upset because it was an amazing space.
I want to just know if people have insider information on this. Is it truly just...
Does the
just,
coffee lobby have something going
is
on
Is it
right
truly
now,
just...
Like, please let us
is
know.
Is it truly just cost of living crisis plus bosses don't want to pay?
I like, assume
I'm
both, absolutely.
I'm 99% sure it's that. But if there is like some ultra push from inside the barista community to not work afternoon, like, I also want to know.
Do you think it's also a thing where, like, the Gen Z culture, not to, like, talk about Gen Zs in this way, but, like, people who, like, just generally don't want to go outside or, like, be out, like, that's, there's just no demand for people to be outside
yes.
like that anymore.
And I guess, again,
or, like, have the rich just all gone inside?
I know
to their
that
own spaces.
It is a thing where no one can really say how they feel about any of this, because while I do think that like, we all shouldn't be indoor dining all the time. I also think that if you have outdoor space and you can have outdoor dining,
right?
Like, I believe in public space, and like, yeah, coffee absolutely. Shops historically are somewhere where we can go and hang out and spend a little bit of money and have meetup time with other people.
Exactly.
That's not our homes and isn't going to cost you like $50 to leave your home, especially in the Bay Area.
Oh my God, really the joke?
And so if this is also just really a Bay Area expensive. Problem and you guys are still chilling in your 24-hour coffee shops in New York City, one, die. Two, walk into traffic before tweeting at me about it. And three...
Let me know, but also, like...
Let me know. Yeah. I want to know.
Let me know, but also delete your tweets.
But if you do say, like, just so you know, in New York, like, this isn't a problem. And then you start talking about walkable cities, like, I will hit you with a megabus, okay? And then I will back up over you and hit you again. I don't want to hear it. Okay, also... We don't have much on the dock today, so yeah, I want to like make some conversation with you because we haven't seen each other. Did you watch the Potomac reunion? Because we have Potomac.
Not because it didn't come out till today, so I haven't seen it yet.
So you haven't seen
it? I didn't see it last night. Did you watch it today?
Oh, right.
I am caught up though.
You're like married and like have to watch TV with your partner.
Oh, my partner needs to see that episode and we don't have time till tonight.
And again, that's what I'm saying. I guess
I also worked today. I have a job. I wouldn't have watched it even if I could have.
Break up so you can watch TV when you want.
You're like, if you haven't seen Potomac within like the first 6 hours of being awake,
how long ago did you download Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and how many episodes have you gotten through?
I'm on episode 6. We have a lot of television to watch. There's so many things.
And whose fault is that?
The world's. Yours, actually.
No, it's you for not watching TV before I met you.
I've still watched so much TV. The problem is, to me, everyone I meet, I watch more TV than God. When I meet you, you are like bigger than God in the universe. You're like the multiverse.
That's because it's also my job to watch TV.
But you also have something on TV all the time. Like, you could have two TV shows playing at once and remember everything. I would die. Like, it would short circuit the brain. I did just finish season one of Twin Peaks. That's how you have to know where I'm at television-wise.
See, this is also the other thing. You tweeted, by the way, after I was at your home... talking about it, hashtag influencer, hashtag my impact.
Oh my God, here we go.
Oh, I'm gonna start watching Curb Your Enthusiasm again. And I was like,
you literally said you were doing that, and I said, oh my God, good idea, I'm gonna do the same.
But
that's not in the background
while you are still watching Girls and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I'm almost done with season 4 of Girls. We're getting there. Progress is being made. You act like no progress is being made.
No, none.
I met the season of Girls, by the way.
Any Real Housewives of New Jersey. Not a
single
episode. No,
we are on season 3. We just watched like 7 episodes on Saturday.
And I'm on season 9.
That's your mental illness to tackle. I'm on the season of Girls now, though, where Hannah went to get her master's in Iowa for a hot minute. And then Marnie thinks she's not a mistress. It's beyond iconic. Like, the delusions of grandeur.
I remember the episode where...
That episode took shots at the general public.
Had
something to say.
We watched the episode together where Hannah's agent dies.
So fucking funny. That funeral episode was so
shocking.
Good.
Shocking.
Shocking.
What a good season. Also, I have to say, Vanderpump Rules.
Oh God,
she's
so
back.
Good. Actually, like, it's like I'm excited for it. I could not care less about. Well, I mean, I guess that's not true. But like, Potomac and Salt Lake City, like, just fully petered out. I was like, oh, it's on. I guess I'll go catch
the
it
reunion
now.
Of Potomac, and we'll talk about it a little bit.
It's good. The Potomac reunion's good.
It's not good, though, but, like, it is interesting to see. So
it's more like a finally moment. Like, finally we're getting there.
When I was talking to you about Andy and Giselle and Robin and obviously being, fed up with them.
Yeah, and the edit.
I thought you had seen this most recent episode.
No.
But, like, it's interesting because you can tell Andy is, like, over it, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Almost Andy is like echoing word for word everything Candace is saying and like clearly agrees with Candace about everything that is wrong with the show and like genuinely cannot hide his disdain for Robin.
He came
Giselle.
In like with an attitude. He was like, oh, I'm going to
like
grill
Giselle
the shit
will
out
speak
of you.
And he'll be like, don't you think that's hypocritical? Or like, Robin will say something and he's like, I don't understand. Or Giselle was going back and forth with him about Chris.
Yeah.
And Giselle's like, this is semantics. And Andy's like, I know, Giselle, you're playing a semantics game with this.
When he was like Robin, if I put myself feel in your
uncomfortable
shoes.
Versus what did he do to make you feel uncomfortable?
When he was like,
so he didn't do anything to make you uncomfortable. It just him being in your presence in a room made you uncomfortable. And Robin's like, I don't understand why I have to distinguish that. Like, it's the same thing. And Andy's like, it's not the same thing. Like, you're playing with semantics. Like,
when he was like, if I put myself in your shoes, Robin, and thought about the relationship you have had with Juan and the ways in which that you have talked about this season, yet when you went on Patreon to this whole thing, it was like, he really was like,
there were moments,
I could would sue you if I could.
There, like, were moments in episode two of the reunion where...
Two or three, like the latest one?
It's the latest one, so it's two.
No, the latest one's three.
Is it three?
Yeah. This was not the last one.
No, this is two, and then the next one next week is three.
I don't think you're caught up because we watched part two of the reunion on Saturday, and it came out last night, part three.
No, I watched. Oh, is it not over today?
Yet? So wait, it's not the end yet. Mama, let's research.
No,
where were we?
No, it's.
Oh, maybe I did only watch part one.
It's part one.
Is it really?
But yes.
Do they have the husbands?
Watch
come out?
Real Housewives of Potomac. Part two recap.
And you just watched that today.
That was what I watched. Don't lie to me. Yeah.
Oh, so really.
Reunion part three, March 5th.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God.
And it's going to be an hour and a half because it has the whole thing with Andy.
The whole thing with Robin. Okay, so the way they previewed the episode made me think we were already through it. We were catching up a lot.
No, but like there's a part where Robin will be speaking and it'll cut to... Flash forward his interview with her, dragging Robin.
She looks like she's going through it in that Watch What Happens Live special. Like,
no, like,
I don't think she realized what she had to sign up for.
But like Vanderpump Rules on the flip side.
Divine. Thrilling. No, I'm literally like anticipating it each week. I'm like, when
Sheena
is it going to be
Shea
Wednesday?
Sheena Shea is the most famous woman alive.
Like, and she looks gorgeous
Sheena
while
Shea
doing
is
it.
Every woman, all women are in Sheena Shea. Like,
she is the moment.
I was texting you watching Sheena... back in action in her absolute A game last episode. Like, she was firing on all cylinders. She was like hot girl walking. She was podcasting. She was like nailing Katie to the cross, like over and over, and then lighting her corpse on fire. Like,
I'm sorry, that walk they did down the streets of Los Angeles.
Come on. It's a hot girl Raquel walk in like 900 degree weather.
Yeah, well, they stop at like a bus stop.
And the way she keeps saying hot girl walk, like it's all the rage on TikTok to take a hot girl walk.
That's not real. Like, this is like six people doing this.
I do want to know, like, hot girl walking.
Do we do
like,
that whenever we go on a walk? Is it a hot girl walk?
Do we have to manifest
doing it?
Are you a
it?
Woman? Why are you as a man coming into female spaces? Sheena.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Also, I will just say James is deeply in love with Raquel. 100% deeply in love with Raquel.
It's scary. And the way he talked about that dog, I was like, I think you're talking about Raquel. The way that you think about this is
also the way
the
his girlfriend flipped on him at the party at the end. Upsetting. I do love that Tom Sandoval is spending approximately $10,000 a month to just look hot and bang on the bongo drums.
Like, he has a studio reserve space. He has like full catering, booze, snacks, kitchen.
But I
there's
do
like
have
10
to say,
people in this band.
I have to say.
That is so fucking
crazy. Not to like point out to all the incredulous people, right? Not to be like bursting anyone's bubble. But that studio space looks the way that it does because he knows it's going to get filmed.
Oh, yeah.
You think he just put that backdrop up with all the lighting? Because
you think the snacks are fake?
No. I'm just saying that he knows they're going to film in there.
Of course.
He wants it to look good. So part of it is he's paying to have a set that's like... his set.
Do you think Bravo pays it all for a little
bit? No. No, I think it's his, but I think he's doing it because it's elevating this project of his.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he knows it's going to get filmed. It's his storyline.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
He's investing in his storyline. I genuinely think
I was saying
this
while watching. I feel like him and Ariana are suddenly just going to like disappear off the show and do their own thing somewhere.
I would hate it, honestly. I think that they're...
It'd be sad.
I think that they're necessary. I genuinely...
But they do seem to be more and more fed up with what's going on in the show.
I think that they're fed up with
like
it.
They're like actually
but
good
I,
people.
I don't think that Ariana would be seriously entertaining the coffee shop. Speaking of, sandwich shop.
Oh, you're right. We have a sandwich
idea.
Shop to produce.
If they weren't going to be on the show.
That's true.
And he wouldn't have opened this restaurant with Tom.
That's true.
But I maintain he should buy Tom out of the restaurant and Schwartz out of the restaurant. Gotta say, though.
Don't.
Sandoval and Schwartz have both, by themselves and collectively, never looked hotter.
It's kind of true. I won't lie, though. Schwartz has a skin, though, that when the lighting hits it, you're like, there it is. It's a little concerning. But in dimmer lighting...
I don't know what it is.
It's fine.
Schwartz, like, activates something in me. Like, it's like a primal, like, genuine motherly instinct that is, like, baked into my DNA.
I don't want to comment on that.
Whereas, like, Sandoval, when he took his shirt off,
oh, his body's insane.
I, like, moaned. I was like,
what the fuck is this?
I literally... audibly
and that mustache is like longer than it ever could possibly be, like, but
I
physically.
It was like I didn't even see the mustache in that moment when he took his shirt off. I was like, truly felt like I was gonna crumble into dust.
He is like a rock
even
star.
Ariana was like taken aback by how hot her boyfriend is. Like,
he look, it's like the more that everyone else suffers, the better he gets. Like,
oh, because I think
energy distribution,
I think
happening.
That Ariana and Tom are like two of the only, like, genuinely happy people on that show.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they actually are,
I think,
regular
that they are
people
actually
that can do good things.
Legitimately fulfilled in their lives. Whereas, like, Katie is a
going through
genuine
the
abyss.
Worst time of her life.
Katie? She is, like, I do feel like no matter how much Katie tries to work on herself, she is, like, born a black hole and will die a black hole of a person. Like, I hate to say it.
I don't
it.
Think she knows who she is.
She will have to all. Fundamentally renovate every part of her personality to find happiness because, like...
Remember she wanted to be a music producer? Music skills Katie. What's her, like...
Music kills Kate.
Music kills Kate.
You know, I found her parents' restaurant, Baja Cantina.
You did send me that Yelp. That was very real, that restaurant.
The El Utah. Muncho platter.
It looked good, but the reviews weren't good. That was unfortunate.
No, it wasn't. It was no one's going to Park City, Utah to get Mexican food from Katie's mom. Should we talk about some of these things?
We
what
do
are the
have
skips
news.
This week?
We do have some skips. Miss Emrata hangs out with some DJ after Eric Andre split. So we're just, you know, keeping tabs on
oh,
that.
I also,
tabs on that.
Speaking
DJ
of,
Orazio Rispo, just in case anyone knows.
Did you
that
see
is.
Austin Butler making out with Kaia Gerber?
I did. I saw your like
I was
bat
like,
signal alert when you found
I
that
was like, I was like, truly, the snake has eaten its own tail.
So what do you
like,
mean by that? Can you elaborate on
like,
that theory?
Like, it's just the cycle of gossip.
Yeah.
That goes from Vanessa Hudgens and Austin Butler breaking up in the prelude to the Elvis role.
Yes, and how she was instrumental in him getting
and
the role, allegedly.
Pete Davidson and Kaia Gerber having an intervention with Kaia Gerber's parents. And then breaking up a month later, all the way to Austin Butler and Kaia Gerber making out is truly the entirety of pop culture. Like
it is like the Venn diagrams have like slowly
like no,
you
guys
moved into the
don't
center.
Understand. Like it's Austin Butler, it's Vanessa Hudgens, it's Pete Davidson, it's Emrata, it's Ariana Grande, no. It's Kaia Gerber. It's Julia Fox.
Is it Kendall Jenner also?
It's Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, at this point. It's all coming together. Are these the new A-listers?
Kim Kardashian is involved too because of Pete Davidson.
Oh, yeah.
Which is who he was dating after he broke up with Kaia Gerber.
I guess Eric Andre kind of flew through it a little bit.
Eric Andre, like, took a dive through this.
Drone bombing.
Like, it's legitimately the complete circle. Like, we have closed the loop on history, and it's all downhill from here.
So it's
like,
going to restart again, though.
Really. Oh, no, like, we're in the D timeline now. Like, like, there's just, like, I guess if you're not tapped into, like, the universal patterns the way that I am, this doesn't affect you the
you
way
do
it
see it like
me.
The Matrix, like, the but numbers like, are right in front of you.
But, like, I just... The thread between Austin Butler and Kaia Gerber is just too much. It's too much. It even goes to like a place of George Clooney and like Amal Oof. Clooney. Like we're that far out.
And even Shawn Mendes is hanging out with what's her name right now? You're like, don't bring this into the room.
His 52-year-old trainer who likes him because he's gay. Someone
we're just gonna say it now.
Sorry, I'm not trying to be mean, but like
I can find the clip of you being like, why do people keep saying Shawn Mendes is gay? It's like non sequitur. It doesn't even matter.
But like, now you're like everyone, okay, it's mostly just because like People magazine keeps posting like Shawn Mendes takes flirty walk with
it's
personal
always
trainer.
A walk, like and they like, go anywhere.
I'm like, it's they're hanging out. This is just gay people hanging out. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm talking about Sabrina Carpenter, by the way.
Mama, you think
that's
Shawn
the 50-year-old
Mendes,
trainer?
No, you honest to God think that Shawn Mendes and Sabrina Carpenter have ever seen each other naked?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Except she took an Uber to this house. Yes, girl, your bra looks so good, babe. Slay. And they could both be saying that to each other.
It's funny because these photos of them on the walk, they're like a good like 6 feet apart. Like, pandemic's not over, honey, you know?
Also, Olivia Wilde jokes that she's a humiliating soccer mom. I also want to just say, by the way, if I see any of our listeners taking a side in this Selena versus Hailey Bieber of it all,
I can't even pay attention to that. It's so
confusing. I just want you to know I'm hitting you with my car. Like,
Millie Bobby Brown is behind the wheel now. The spirit.
I just have to say, like, I don't think Selena is blameless. I think that she is unwell and addicted to her old life.
What even is happening? I feel like this happened in like 3 seconds through like kind of vague Instagram posts.
The basic gist is like,
someone reposted a song.
Selena reposted something that then was seen as like a diss. And so Hailey and her friends posted some vague book type bullshit.
I can't even string together some.
And then they've just been like vague booking each other for weeks now.
How boring.
But I'm just saying, like, Selena's addicted to her old life and also unwell and like deeply troubled by the environment that she was raised in. I believe that.
Why wouldn't she be?
Hailey Baldwin's also a Baldwin and married Justin Bieber, and they go to Hillsong. So talk about unwell individuals. And these two are in a parasitic relationship in which Selena is like addicted to getting sympathy and Hailey is addicted to having attention. And so when people are like, oh my God, could she do this to Selena? Or, oh my God, how could Selena do this to Hailey? I truly think people don't realize that they enjoy this, the two of them, because it means Selena gets to farm karma points from her fans.
Absolutely.
And Hailey gets to draw attention back to her nothing burger Instagram account because she's jobless. Like, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you're right.
So you don't think they're both going to indulge this perpetually until the end of time?
It must be so exhausting to have like 180 million followers and be like, I still have to do this to get attention. Or like, I still have to work to keep this. Like, that's an exhausting life.
Like, this
especially
is,
when like it's the bare minimum being done.
This is like a psychic battle as deeply entrenched as Lana Del Rey versus the American Psyche. Like, it's like there's no solution to it. It is innate to the fabric of our reality as we know it. And like trying
the
to
natural
choose
hypocrisy,
a side
the
or
natural
like
paradox.
Prove a point. It's almost like watching The Real Housewives, where like trying to say one of them is correct and the other is not is like already a losing battle. It's like, if y'all just want to turn Hailey versus Selena into your version of sports, like, that's fine, but let's not pretend this is anything other than what it is,
which is
a
nothing
form of
burger.
Attention. Yeah.
So, like, I know they're called Selenaters, right, or something?
Selenaters.
What do you call the Baldwinos? Baldwinators? What do you call it? Like, what do you call them? Know. Is there a name? There's no name.
Heat-seeking missiles. Okay, so I have this thing from page 6. Kyle Richards calls out Melissa Gorga for assuming she was taking Ozempic.
Is Kyle Richards still not beating the allegations?
Okay, I'm just saying.
Talk about heat-seeking missiles.
We've entered a place of, I cannot stop saying we've entered. I've been working from home more, so like I went back and just have listened to all of Sexy Unique podcasts, like old TV recaps. Like, I just finished their Jersey Shore. I was listening to Mob Wives. I was also listening to like their old coverage of Real Housewives of New Jersey season 1 through 3.
Oh my God.
And like they always are saying like a place of.
So yeah, I just, we're like, in a place of.
No, but Kyle Richards is like now entering the like Streisand effect territory with Ozempic. We're like, you
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, it's been like a month of this.
When you Google Kyle Richards, the first search result is Kyle Richards Ozempic.
Try Ozempic for 30 days for free.
No, because it's like she keeps telling everyone that she's not on Ozempic point of where
it's
like
so sad.
You're just Streisanding yourself.
And unfortunately, it makes me think she really is.
No, that's what
like,
I'm saying.
It's like, hard not to believe.
It's almost like everyone truly struck a nerve when they called it out. And you know, Kyle is so.
Yeah, I was gonna say kind of fits her personality.
Insecure,
yeah,
deeply insecure.
So I could see her crying already on camera about this, which I'm sure we'll see in the season of Beverly Hills.
The way that this is her storyline.
Oh, it's her intro storyline.
No, this is her storyline.
I've never felt better in my life, but then the Instagram comments.
What was it? What was it? The season that Lisa Vanderpump left. Yeah. We were all so happy. What is it that
oh my said? God, I know. Now I'm trying to think of it. No, we I think it was so the season happy. With Denise, actually.
We were all so happy.
And then we didn't realize how truly horrible things would soon become. That was still good.
Like, all these years later, I think about that. Oh, I found it. I had it in my book.
Play it, please.
We were all so happy that day. It's actually hard to even imagine how terrible things would soon become.
She really should win an Emmy for that one.
She should have won an Emmy. That like the way that convinced us something was going to happen that never happened. Okay, so there's not much here, I guess.
Yeah, what's the clapping back? What's the...
Kyle Richards commented on an Instagram.
Slams Melissa Gorga.
She commented on one of her Instagram posts of someone who basically was like, oh, your co-star already told on you for taking Ozempic.
Oh, Jesus.
And Kyle says, this is not true.
No one said that she was taking
My it, like, fellow housewives never said such a thing.
Yeah, they didn't.
Another housewife from a different franchise, aka Melissa, stated she assumed I was, but then texted an apology to me. So I guess on SiriusXM's Jeff Lewis Live last month, Melissa Gorga said, quote, I'm not going to lie, when I first saw her, meaning Kyle, I was like, ooh, she's taking that stuff. That stuff being Ozempic.
Oh, God.
But she later clarified that she changed her mind when Richard said she wasn't. And so I guess Kyle's now just like even taking aim at like other housewives for like talking about this. And like, if you go on her Instagram, she's like in the comments, like beefing with like 99% of America.
That's what Kyle, I feel like that's where her downfall has become, is she's like very attentive to the fans.
And she's
and I'm like,
so
you need to stop caring
image
about them.
Conscious.
Yeah, it's like the insecurity is way too real.
Like we liked
and it's
Kyle,
hard to watch.
We liked Kyle when she was like
kind of a bitch.
Kind of a bitch.
It was fun. It was funny. Like, go back to just not giving a fuck.
There's not much here for this one, but just, like, thank God Khalees and her kids are okay, because I guess they almost fell off a cliff
in
a snowstorm.
Oh, God.
Look at this Page Six article.
Okay, yeah, no, there is...
No. Literally scroll down.
Uh-huh.
You see the car, like, teetering off a cliff.
Oh, good God. Oh, my God. Oh, that's, like, real snow.
I'm going to play this video from her. One second.
Well, here's the thing. So the car got stuck. My truck got stuck. It's like hanging up. The tow truck actually made it. We've been outside for a while, but we had all our snowboarding gear, so God's good. And I figure if we're gonna be in this situation, we should at least look your best. So I'm wearing layers to keep warm. I've got my light on, thank God, because it's pitch black out here.
Literally, it's off a cliff. It's
no, but
off
that cliff,
a cliff
is real. That is a very real cliff that she could
so
have flew
she's
off
fine.
Of.
Thank God. That'd I guess they wanted to go up to the snow in the snowstorm, but
girl,
it's like late at night.
She didn't have snow tires either. I saw those are raw tires. No.
I'm not gonna almost drive off a cliff, shame Khalees, but no, just
of
like,
course not.
Please don't drive through the snow at night. Yeah. Like, it freaks me out.
Also, this does not help the Erica Jane snow in Pasadena allegations. That's some upsetting stuff.
I have some worse news.
Worse news?
Jamie Lee Curtis has commented.
On?
She's commented.
She said.
I did. I'm unclear as to what the fuck people are on about. And for me, it was joyous, celebratory, sisterly, hot, spicy. And she's just so incredibly talented. I don't know what... I really don't know. The only thing I know is that it was shocking to me. You know, it's in a theater. It's not at tables. And so you're in a theater. And every... And so if you're sitting, if you're looking this way, and there's the stage, and you're watching her on stage, these camera people literally came... They would be like, look that way. They would be here. And you know they're there. You're like, why is this camera person this close to me? And I think a little of it was that there were these camera angles that were really... And we none of us knew what she was doing. So when they would cut to us, I was into it. By the time it got to me, I was into the music and I was having a great time. She is a fantastic talent. These people should shut the fuck up. Back the fuck off and let this woman just shine her light, because she is fantastic.
I love that you said that, because I love Ariana. She's such a lovely woman.
She is fantastic.
What do you think she was talking about?
Well, of course she's talking about the BAFTA song, the...
Angela Bassett did the thing.
It was so funny, and it's so camp now and iconic. And I can't believe she deleted her Twitter. Is her Twitter back? Did she?
I don't know.
She's still off.
I don't know. But I just loved her being like
Jimmy Curtis, supportive queen.
Lady Gaga. What's this thing about Lady Gaga? Okay. The audacity of this headline is shocking.
Yeah. So Lady Gaga is being sued by the dog theft accomplice for not paying the $500,000 reward.
Wait, they were like, I stole your dog and then gave it back, and you didn't pay.
Listen, I'm gonna have to just read this, and we'll figure out what's going on, because I need help as well.
Honestly, this is what Eat the Rich looks like in action, and we should support this person.
So the woman that's been charged in connection with the theft of Lady Gaga's French Bulldogs is now suing Gaga for not delivering her promised $500,000 reward. We're getting this from Page Six in TMZ, but according to TMZ, Jennifer McBride asserts that Gaga made it clear that she would pay the large sum, quote, no questions asked, if her dogs were returned unharmed. As you guys well remember, back in, I think, yeah, Lily, oh my God, February 24th of 2021, so 2 years now, what was it, Fisher, Lady Gaga's, like, dog walker, was assaulted by, like, multiple men who, like, shot them and took the dogs. Thankfully, they survived the injuries. But James Howard Jackson, who cops identify as the main culprit, pled no contest to a count of attempted murder, and he was sentenced to 21 years in prison. Per TMZ, McBride claims she returned the dogs to Gaga at the LAPD Olympic Community Station on February 26, 2021, just 2 days after they were taken. But McBride was obviously later charged in connection to the theft with receiving stolen property and being an accessory to the crime. She allegedly dated the father of one of the men responsible for assaulting Gaga's dog walker, Ryan Fisher. So McBride was later charged in connection to the theft with receiving stolen property and being accessory to the crime. Again, she pled no contest to receiving stolen property and was got 2 years of probation. But now she's seeking the not only just the $500,000, but a total of damages of $1.5 million from Gaga for allegedly posting a misleading reward. I don't know how you have the audacity to do so and what judge will ever take this seriously, but at the same time, like, you know, why not, I guess?
I just think that it is like a truly shocking turn of events to just be like, actually, what's going to happen is you're going to pay me money.
I know that friend of mine, like, shot your friend in dog walker, but I did give you those dogs back.
So
$1.5 million now.
Like, I guess I just like...
Like, she got charged with 2 years probation with the connection to the theft.
Part of
and yet she somehow has the ability to sue God.
Part of me thinks she's trying to sell her story and like trying to put her name back out in the news.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll take this Wendy Williams thing because
I know you know probably more about this
a little.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah.
So Wendy was out and about at Fresco by Scotto, which is like this NYC like pap spot.
Yeah.
And the original story was that like Wendy was out. And I want to be very clear about this. Because as far as the time of filming, this has not been confirmed and there's no networks attached.
At the time of filming, I mean, recording this podcast.
Recording this. Okay. And at the time of them doing this.
Yeah.
There's no, like, networks attached. Like, none of the trades have picked this up. Like, we don't know the specifics of this, right? Like. And so I want to be, like, very clear about what we're saying. So all the headlines were Wendy Williams is filming a reality show about her life. But, like, no one's very sure that that's actually what's
happening.
There's
just camera crews that were filming her doing something.
So what did happen was a source told The Sun that Wendy's filming a reality show. She rocked up to the New York celebrity hotspot Fresco by Scotto and had a producer hand out non-disclosure agreements to patrons. It wasn't like this was pre-planned. When you see the women on The Real Housewives, you see them just walk into places, but really production scouts out the restaurant in advance. For they set it up, there are full permissions involved. Wendy just figured this is her favorite restaurant, so she just showed up. So what this person's saying is that on The Housewives, like, you see them, like, go into a cafe, but in the beginning,
like days
you
before.
Can actually go back to, like, old Housewives and see when they would, like, show up places and the production would have to like blur people out, especially when they were on vacation.
Oh yeah.
Cause back in the day, things weren't like as much of a well-oiled machine.
Well, now they have like a full on lighting set in the restaurant ahead of time
and
before they get there.
By the way, like they've set this all up in advance. And if you didn't know this, The Real Housewives, just like any other actual production in Hollywood, has call sheets where like you aren't just like, you're kind of filming your life all day, every day, but it's not unstructured like that. Like, the producers have scenes with you. So, like, you'll get your schedule for the week, and it'll be like, this day we're filming Crystal, Sutton, and Kyle sit down. And we've chosen a restaurant, or we need to find a new location. On this day, Garcelle's throwing a party. And on this day, Lisa Rinna's having her lip kit launch. And then on Sunday, we're going to do like brunch with Kyle and her family.
Yeah.
And all of that's planned. So like when you're looking at your week, unless something unexpected comes up, which we've seen them have to do camera, like iPhone footage for themselves.
Oh God.
Yeah. Or like self-produced footage. Like when Erica divorced suddenly, you know how they all like filmed themselves at their makeup counters in coordination with
each
other.
They like refilmed
because like because they didn't expect it.
Yeah,
and a lot of sources say that they filmed that scene months later. But I digress.
Yeah.
So like when you're doing a reality show, everything has to be very planned out because, genuinely speaking, unstructured reality isn't very interesting. Unless like you're even on like the Big Brother shows and like Love Island, where they are like more unstructured in the sense that like they're just sitting in a house all day with nothing to do. They even have challenges, eliminations, like scheduled chats, or you have to go scheduled time to go on a date or get filmed for your confessionals. So like Wendy, they're saying, and why a lot of people think that there's maybe just some like irresponsible stuff happening on her team's part. She just like literally walked into Fresco's with a camera crew.
Yeah, that's.
And started signing NDAs.
It's.
Like it wasn't like. And non-disclosure agreements, by the way, in this case also, you might be agreeing to like not tell people what happened, but you might also be like. How should I say this? Like agreeing to appear in whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's like a waiver of your rights to be like, I'm agreeing to show up in this and not get paid for it.
Yeah.
And like, I can have my image
used.
Be an
unblurred face. Yeah.
Yeah. So this also makes me think it's maybe not a reality show, but a documentary about her life.
Yeah.
That she's self-financing or her team is trying to put together.
Or do you think it could be clips for something else? Like,
yeah,
later even?
I just don't think it's like a reality show.
Yeah.
If a actual reality show comes out of this, you can all stone me in the public square, throw tomatoes at me, but like...
There would be a crew kind of here and ready.
It's not even that. I just don't think that that's what's happening.
I would hope not. I don't think.
She has a podcast, which is as low lift as it gets for Wendy at the moment. Right. Meaning like physically she doesn't have to show up somewhere. She can record from home, that kind of thing. And that was like supposed to come out like almost a year ago.
Yeah, I was just about to say, when is that happening?
It's like, still on Instagram, but like she just will like post photos of herself. And no podcast has materialized. So I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer because y'all know we are Wendy supporters and we have done our episodes on Wendy. I'm just trying to be realistic. And that was really all it was. They said that the crew didn't look like they were hired by a network. It was very homemade. It appears it will be a show about her life after the Wendy Williams show. Again, I will be very hard pressed to genuinely believe any source that's saying that this is a real show. It sounds like they just got someone who was... Okay, two theories as a gossip.
Yeah.
This source is either someone who was legitimately at the restaurant and in the know about like New York City and like TV stuff, which Fresco's is like...
Yeah, you're saying it's a pap spot already, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it is like an not industry place. It's just like a hot spot. So people would be in the know there. Or... I'm also going to say this. This could be someone in the camp... placing this,
seeing how people kind of react,
to see if there's interest in it.
Yeah, it
which is why they said it doesn't look like there's a network attached. It's gonna be about her life.
Yeah, there are like a lot of Williams shows. Yeah,
it kind of makes me think that this was someone on her team trying to get interest going for this, which it certainly worked because literally every website had a headline: Wendy Williams is filming a reality show. Again, be careful what you read, people. This Doja Cat thing, I didn't read that. What's going on with Doja Cat? Because I just saw more like the devil.
That's all it really is, honestly. It's just annoying because like the Shade Room like posted pictures of Doja Cat's outfit but then deleted it and then made a post that was like, I'll never be ashamed of my faith. If you want to know what side of faith we stand on, we stand for God. We stand for Jesus. If you do too, throw up your prayer hand, like pray hand emoji in the comments. Hashtag to be clear. Hashtag not ashamed.
Hashtag John 3:16.
Yeah. But they had posted the picture of Doja Cat and like, then everyone in the comments started doing...
pit of conservatism, of course. As we know.
Yeah, and all the comments were like, this is against God. This is like Satanism. Like Doja Cat's the Illuminati. And then of course, you know, Doja Cat literally is tweeting like, the Illuminati shit is so funny to me. I'm gonna keep doing deliberate weird ass shit just to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, because she covered her body in rhinestones at the Schiaparelli show.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now we have something,
girl. This is a lot.
We have a war crime housewife.
I swear, Ashley Darby, when she said in her confessional this season, like, there's always a twist with me or whatever, like, she's not wrong. Like, this was the twist we were not expecting.
So, there was a tweet that came out that said, quote, for those curious enough to interrogate this, Michael Darby, a white American real estate developer, most notable for being someone's husband on one of the Real Housewives shows, is one of... I can't even finish the sentence because it's too shocking. Is one of the largest landowners in Somalia and earns a substantial wealth from the war on Somalis. One of the replies said, quote, I don't watch the show, but I saw someone mention his land in Somalia, so I read some more. He owns a share in private military contractor called Bancroft Global's Investment Arms, which gets involved in real estate and other projects after they've helped pacify a place. Obscene. Now... I'm not going to go into it. I didn't take too heavy of notes on this because it is like a long story and also like...
It's also very like pulled together from like different random sources where people are able to find. There's definitely not like a big expose on this with like hard line truths going in. But
there's a Wired story that is what this person is talking about from 2011 called... U.S. hires shady mercenary for Somali proxy war. A French-born mercenary with a criminal record and possible ties to several African coups and at least one murder is the latest agent of the U.S. government's outsourced war in Somalia, according to the New York Times East Africa reporter Jeffrey Gettleman and others. Richard Rouget, a.k.a. Elias Colonel Sanders, works for Bancroft Global. So he says that this person, Richard Rouget, works for Bancroft Global Development, a Washington, D.C.-based private security company that maintains approximately 40-man team of self-described, quote, mentors in Somalia's capital city. Him and other quote-unquote mentors, which are a mix of French, Scandinavian, and South African soldiers, help train 9,000 U.S.-funded Ugandan and Burundian peacekeeping forces that at the time doubled as the heavy arm of the Somalia transitional federal government in its long war. And they basically describe how the U.S. was funding these quote-unquote mentors through Bancroft Global to train people on the ground to like destabilize the region for the United States.
America's which, finest export.
By the way, is a tried and true export of the United States, as you just said. Like it is one of the United States' oldest traditions to train people in other countries to overthrow their government.
As bad as America is at destroying this country, they're even better at doing it in other places. Like, it's truly a pastime. So
they basically say also how this becomes like also a form of real estate development.
Yeah, and like they say Michael Darby's worth like 20 something million dollars, and there's basically lots, there's basically multiple claims. And
okay, this
that,
is, I just do want to say this one more thing though. So at the time, the New York Times got a quote from Bancroft Global, and I just wanted to read this to you just to really set the scene. Bancroft doesn't employ mercenaries, company founder Michael Stock told the New York Times.
Yeah, because that would be illegal.
Mercenary activity is antithetical to the fundamental purposes for which Bancroft exists.
But we do something else.
Stock
that's
said,
worse.
Adding that the company, quote, does not engage in covert, clandestine, or otherwise secret activities. But Rouget has engaged in covert, clandestine, and secret, and possibly worse activities.
Oh my God.
And now the U.S. government has indirectly put its stamp of approval on his past by paying countries to pay him to train their armies in pursuit of a shared goal.
That shared goal being...
Okay, now... This cheat sheet article, why don't you go through it and then I will talk about the Washington Post stuff.
Well, honestly, there's not much to it here. Most, I mean, honestly, the most like compelling thing is from that Washington Post thing kind of in the middle. But one of the things that's basically like been known or as people are coming out more about is that Michael Darby owns the most amount of land in Mogadishu in Somalia and also obviously has other property in other parts of the United States or not even the United States, but also South America and Australia. And he's also, what was it here?
They say that he built a Michael Darby.
This
genuinely shook me to my core when I read it because it was so sinister and dark in a way where immediately like your heart just has like a fucking blade of ice go through it because you're like, there's nothing good happening here. He built a 44 anger compound near the airport. 44 acre compound.
Mama.
Near an airport.
That could be like a city. Like
he is now, because of that, one of the country's largest real estate developers.
Yeah, I mean, generally, the idea of any...
So he also has a bunch of real estate that... is all over the United States, DC, where they live, and he's like done stuff for hotels and whatnot. He was principal and co-founder of Monument Realty Property in Asia, Latin America, and has reportedly worth more than $20 million. Now, that isn't the real story here. So I saw this on the Lipstick Alley because
is that where you got this from?
When you first Google search this, you're like, where is this photo from? It got posted on the Lipstick Alley like 5 years ago. But
oh my God.
People were just saying something about how Michael's like a weirdo. But there's this photo that has floated around for a few years of Michael and Ashley in camo gear,
tactical gear
in a room full of maps. That's like out of context. And I found out where this was originally posted, which was none other than Bravo.com before they were housewives.
Oh my God. Of
so
course.
You know those like
back when 50, Potomac was a little show.
Those like 50 slideshow photo posts where it's like before they were housewives, Luann like and Bethany. And
it's like, all the like high school photos.
So that's where this photo comes from.
Oh my God.
But out of context, this photo could be anywhere, right? Because you can't really read what's on the map.
No, you can't. It's pretty low quality also.
And there's like,
they look like they're literally on a tour somewhere where they were like dressed up in this gear and get a photo. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't
like it
look
could
serious.
Be a million things, but then,
it's also bulletproof.
But then there's all this stuff about Somalia. So I was like, okay, well, if it's near the airport and, you know, like, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. Maybe I could find where this photo is from. Now, the colors are slightly different, obviously, because of flash and aerial photography getting better. But if you zoom in on the photo, the map in the back of that photo, and then zoom in on the Google Maps
of
that
Somalia.
I have. Of Somalia, of Mogadishu specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Look.
Mama.
Oh, take note of that big mama. White line.
We'll post these photos on the Patreon up, by the way, so you guys can see this. But
I'm not saying I got the exact area, but you can tell just based on the satellite imagery that this is what they're taking a photo of.
No,
that this is what that map
is. No, you can tell because there's some very familiar lines specifically of like major roads.
And just the way the aerial photography looks.
And the density of the city fading out into the desert, you can definitely tell this is the same map.
No, it's literally.
So this photo was likely taken when they are literally in the process of acquiring, distributing, or building or developing on the land that they own in Somalia.
So like,
especially stuff on the left so is like, of the city.
I just want to know. Like, I'm not dating the kind of rich guys that like.
This is a kind of rich that is
fly
terrifying.
To Somalia and buy 44 acres of land by an airport for no particular reason.
Well,
but, like,
for compound reasons.
I just want to know, like, the girlies
what is
who
going
are
on
doing
compound?
That. Like, your man takes you to Somalia. You're like Australian born, like. Extremely white husband takes you to Somalia and is like, yeah, just bought 44 acres of land here. Like, is your first thought not he's gonna kill me one day? Like, I just need to know, like, what's going through your brain? Like, because if this was me and he was like, yeah, we're gonna go to Somalia and I'm gonna show you my 44 acre compound. I'm the largest landowner in Somalia.
Listen, the fans of Potomac are like,
I would legitimately
roasting Ashley.
I would literally change my name. Like, I would delete my entire social media presence, change my name and go into witness protection. Because,
I didn't even realize. I'm looking at like when the Apple Maps where it's like a simplified version of the map. Like, it's not satellite, but it has like the main street map, street lines and everything. And you can tell from the left photo
I
in
know.
The backdrop.
That's what I was
it
saying.
It is 100% a land development photo of Mogadishu. I want to know where this compound is. Someone leak the address I would like to see on a map. Knowing it's 44 acres, it's probably a pretty considerable chunk of a map.
Wait, I want to go on Ashley's Twitter and I want to see if people are talking about this.
Oh, are they in their comment section?
I want to know.
The way Michael Darby made sure he was not even touching this season of Potomac, the smartest movies ever made in his life.
Is she? Okay, _ Ashley Darby.
What are you finding?
Okay, so she doesn't post on Twitter anymore. Her last post was from her Pride on Twitter, like her Pride thing on Twitter.
Wait, like when she was on when she was
when
at
she was
Pride?
At Pride in 2021.
I was about to say, like, oh wow. Jesus.
Okay, so
she's totally opt-out.
I wanted to see if
is she posting on Instagram then?
What?
Wait, okay, where do I need to go?
I'm on her Instagram and
oh, mama,
she posted a photo of her son's birthday party and someone responds in the comments. It's giving my hubby has 44 acres in Somalia, but isn't giving me a dime. It's giving I fumbled a bag like no other, but he did give you two handsome boys and that in itself is a blessing.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Truly gag of the century.
Well, after this is this all coming out after we've now seen in the reunion that she's getting like absolutely nothing from that man post divorce. I'm like, the L is severe.
I'm
a tragic scenario.
I'm just like, oh.
Ashley is such a tragedy.
Oh, no. I'm afraid.
I don't want to keep looking. It's starting to get sad.
I think she's just been limiting her comments.
Oh, she's deleting comments. I would.
No, no. It says like on all her posts, like comments have been limited. I don't think it's the Somalia thing, but like.
Probably.
Ooh.
Maybe it's only who she follows back. Oh, jeez. No. People are literally like. Oh yeah, no, they're coming to her in the comments.
Yeah, they're coming for her.
Why are you all going after Chris? I saw the videos and he didn't flirt or anything with your friend. Okay, God, here we go. Ugh.
Wow.
Wow, girls.
Oh, I'm just like doing a stretch. One thing
it's been
I will say about working from home again.
I say what a week, it's Monday.
Anyway, it's Monday. Yes. One thing about working from home now is like I do need a new chair, I feel like, because my back is like breaking in that chair.
I just got the Herman Miller.
What happened to your old chair? Did you get rid of it already?
No, I still have it. I'm technically having to keep it for a little bit because it's taller than the Herman Miller chair and like the ergonomics are not good on it. So I have to buy like an extension pump thing to make the chair a little taller.
On the Herman Miller?
Yeah, on the Herman Miller. I got it for a really good deal. They're normally like $1,600. I got it for like $400 on Craigslist, but I didn't realize that it's ergonomic completely for my height and weight and everything, but my desk is just like an inch or two taller. So it's that thing where like you're typing on the keyboard, but your wrists are like bent while doing it because I'm like lower, and that's not going to work. That can't happen.
So I don't get to keep your chair just yet.
It's like $100 IKEA chair, my other one. I don't think you'd want that. That's why I got a new one because I was like,
mine
this
doesn't
is
even
pain.
Have padding.
I had to insert a foam pad into this one. Do you need some foam? I have extra foam still.
No.
That foam is the only thing that made it tolerable. I do have that other chair that might be helpful for you, though. I have
which one?
It's the one from Pottery Barn. The one that my partner got, like, very discounted.
Is it
it's
swivel?
It's not really padded, though. Yeah, it's a swivel. Okay. You can try it. We can try it after this. See how you feel. Okay.
Maybe I'll steal that.
You do need a good chair, though, because your body will deteriorate.
I know, well, because I can feel that,
and you have to keep your back straight as much as
you can. I
can
feel that, like, pinch in my lower back, you know?
Oh,
like,
no. Yeah,
from,
no.
Like, the way that I sit in my chair kind of, like, on one side, like, kind ooh. Of leaning, and I can feel
that,
like...
Do you
that,
do that, like, thing where you bend a knee while you sit under a chair? I do that all the time, and it's, like, apparently the worst thing you could possibly do.
No, I have one of those, like, ergonomic foot pads that, like, place your knees at, like, a slight angle.
Oh.
Like, you know where it, like, is like this? You have it on the work from home
desk. Yeah.
You know how there's, like, the board at the bottom? That,
yeah, I
like,
took that out.
Oh, I like that.
I literally, my knees just kept hitting it constantly.
But you're also, like, a foot taller than
that's
me.
That's true. It was, like, giving me, like, splinters.
Sorry, I'm so small.
You're so tiny.
Sorry, I'm literally
you need a chair
so
for
small.
Tiny people.
I need an elf person chair.
I'll get you, like, a little preschool kid's chair. Baby's first work from home.
Literally, like, those, like, tiny little, like, what is it, like, Tonka truck chairs where they're, like, like 4 inches wide.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want. Mm-hmm. Like, a little Barbie chair.
Wow.
Sorry I'm so small.
Must be nice.
I can't stop thinking about when Danica said that.
I quote that like every other day still.
No.
I say it all the time.
Okay, well.
Sorry, I'm so small.
Okay. I think that's it.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Do you have anything else?
I finally saw Crimes of the Future. That was good.
No one cares.
I'm just saying that real quick because Crickets. Infinity Pool was garbage. Garbagiana.
What was?
Infinity Pool by Brandon Cronenberg, son of David Cronenberg, who did Crimes of the Future. You will never be your father. I'm so sorry,
being
Brandon.
A nepotism kid is bad.
Bad.
I can't believe David Cronenberg birthed a nepotism baby. That's so sad.
And then their kids' films are like not good.
Not good.
Mia Goth was great, but the rest was garbage.
I love Ethel Kane too.
Don't you do that to my girl.
I get them mixed up.
I am
all
not
the time.
An Ethel Kane girl. I don't get the obsession.
So you hate women and you hate trans people. Next time I come in here,
I can't even respond to this anymore.
Next time I come in here and Kim Petras is playing, I will remember.
I do not play Kim Petras in this household.
Okay. I heard Sam Smith and Kim Petras coming out your window.
You are fat lying right now. I've never played a Sam Smith song in my life, except for when
we
had made that episode.
Yes, you did. Yes, you have. I've heard it.
I couldn't even finish the Unholy Music.
I've heard it. I talked to my therapist about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
You're seeing a therapist?
Yeah, ask him. He's real.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Jeff, and it's spelled J-E-O-F-F. I know, because I've had to spell it, because he's real, and I'm seeing him.
Wow. Powerful yeah. stuff.
You wish.
I wish what?
You wish that you had a therapist named Jeff. I'm sorry that you don't, but if you did, I think you would be a lot happier in life. So,
well, give your therapist a recommendation.
Yeah, I will. You should also cut the episode now.
Do they take Aetna?
I don't know. I don't have insurance.
Okay. Let's get out of here.
Fine.
Three,
two, one. Hello. Hi, my name is Ashley Darby, and when my husband flew me to Somalia to see his 44-acre compound, I closed my eyes and asked no questions.
Goodbye.